Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Take it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio. I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. We'll be with you for the next 30 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, games, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And this week, Josh, we're going to discuss something a little bit more serious than what we have normally been discussing on our past episodes. And we're going to discuss something that's called cyberbullying. I'm sure that a lot of you parents and listeners have heard of this. It's been around, the term's been around since the internet, pretty much. But it's gotten pretty out of hand, and what, you know, we're going to kind of discuss what it is, how to talk to your child about it, and kind of what they should do if they are victims of it or if you witness any of this. So just kind of start it off on the right note. When a kid of any age, pretty much up to 18, is threatened or humiliated, harassed, This is a term called cyberbullying with technology, okay? So it has to be bullying with technology. And it is a form of digital abuse. It is harmful, and it can be extremely dangerous. And there has been several stories that have included kids who have been arrested for this, as well as kids who have committed suicide because of cyberbullying. Now, this social, it's basically a social online terror, and it's used through email, cell phones, you know, text messages, instant messaging,
picture,
you know, Facebook.
Commenting on
exactly.
Pictures.
Yep. Social media.
There's really nothing
that's
kind of sacred.
Right, exactly. And you can do it through websites too, but it's mostly provoked through social media and text messages and so forth. And it's done by kids deliberately. And they repeatedly do this to annoy and make the other child feel inferior. It can be done by an individual or it can be done by a group of people. But the whole purpose of cyberbullying is the intentions of harming the student or the child through the internet. And, you know, as we know, both Josh and myself, technology is a wonderful thing if it's done properly and if it's used properly. Unfortunately, our kids are becoming a little bit more advanced than we are. So they're taking this to a whole new level. And, you know, talking with your friends is no longer picking up the phone and you know, dialing and spending hours on the phone like I used to with my friends. It's, in fact, sometimes things can be misinterpreted. A lot of times things can. Am I correct, Josh? I mean, when you're messaging somebody, somebody can take it the wrong way.
You can't. There's not a lot of, I mean, a text is a text. You can't. It's not, you can't tell if it was meant to, you know, be playful or spiteful. Text is a text.
Right. And some people, like myself, I try to use emoticons to kind of show a little bit more emotion. As far as, you know, if I'm picking on somebody, then I'll put a little laughy face, you know, and then JK, like just kidding. So, you know, things like that. But some of it, sometimes the kids don't do this. And sometimes it's obviously deliberate if they're cyberbullying. And I'll give you an example. My daughter and I went out to do a girls' day every month. And when we do our girls' day, you know, we'll go to movies, we'll go to dinner or lunch or breakfast or whatever. But we'll spend the whole day together out of the house. and we'll have our phones on us, but the only time we can use our phones when we're with each other is, you know, obviously my daughter will, while we're driving somewhere, she'll be on the phone texting, or she'll, you know, be uploading some stuff about what a great day she's having or whatever. But if we're sitting down eating, or if we're going to the movie, if we're sitting at a cafe or whatever, the girls' day we cannot use our electronics. So we cannot be sitting there on our electronics when it's girls' day. So
right.
My daughter turns her, you know, she turns her phone off. If once we go in for breakfast or for lunch or whatever, she'll turn her phone off so that she, you know, so that we can communicate, we can talk and sit and eat and so forth. So we do this one day during our mom and daughter day, and she turns her phone off, and we're out for a good, I'd say, 4 hours, maybe five, but we went to see a movie and everything. And so we get back into the car, and she decides, you know, we're on the way home, and she decides, okay, she's going to turn her phone back on. And when she turns her phone back on, she has a slew of messages from one of her girlfriends, and her girlfriend had been trying to text her all day. And the girl had, at the end of the message, towards the end of the message, the girl says, "Why aren't you responding to me? How come you're not, you know, talking to me? Did I do something wrong? Are you ignoring me?" Blah, 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 goes on and on and on. And then she starts to get very violent. And she starts saying things like, "Well, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Just wait till you get to school. You'll see what kind of friend I'm going to be," blah, blah, blah. So me being the technological mother that I am, and you know, in my daughter knowing that I can pretty much read anything, whether she shows me or not, she gives me the phone and she says, "Mom, look what this, you know, my friend had wrote. What should I do?" Now the first step into with this is what we're getting to is communication. Communicate with your child. If you communicate with your child, your daughter or your son is going to be able, that's the first step in preventing cyberbullying, is going to show you what's going on. And they're going to talk to you about this. So my daughter didn't know what to do. So she asked me, "Mom, what do I do?" Now, me being the mother, I wanted to respond back, but I didn't. I wanted to see how my daughter would handle this. So I said to my daughter, "Why don't you, you know, explain to her, let her know, tell her, you know, make sure you apologize, but I'm going to let her handle this." So she does. And the girl responds back and says she doesn't believe her. And so this, now at this point, she says she doesn't believe her. She's not talking to her anymore. And that was the end of the conversation. I left it at that day. Because I want to see how my child's going to handle it. I'll give her advice, but they have to learn to handle these situations too in a certain, you know, progressive state. If it gets too much out of hand, obviously we're going to jump in. But you know, it wasn't too bad. So I wait for the girl to respond, and finally she responds to her in a very nasty undertone, and that's when I decided to jump in. And I pick up the phone, and I contact the girl, and I explain to her. First, I texted her, and I said, "I'm going to call you. I'm going to let you know what was going on. This is, you know, Rachel's mother." So I call her, and I tell her, and I explain to her, and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I really thought she was mad at me. We're still friends. Everything's okay." She apologizes on and on and on, and that ends it. But the point of the matter is, cyberbullying could have started at that point. There could have been very, very bad things that have happened had I not taught my daughter to communicate with me. And in that specific instance, there could have been, you know, like she had said, just wait till we get to school and see what kind of friend I'm going to be. There could have been, you know, all the girls use text, all the girls use Instagram, all the girls use Facebook, Twitter, you know, so forth. So there could have been really bad repercussions on that part if my daughter had not said, "Mom, can you look at this?" So, you know, honestly, the first step in the preventing cyberbullying is really communicating with your kids. And I don't mean to go on and on, but I wanted to tell that story because it's so important in this type of situation. But do you agree? I mean, socialization is an important thing.
Yeah, you got to get your kids to talk to you and be able to explain to you and have you help them to address the situation. I mean, that's what you're there for. That's what parents are there for, to help children, you know, to help raise your child and address situations that they're not used to. They've never, you know, been a part of. And just because you maybe not have been, you've never been cyberbullied or something, doesn't necessarily mean that you can't address that situation, because cyberbullying is bullying. It's just using a different form of it. And unfortunately, that form is basically active and accessible 24 hours a day. So, and there's a lot. We in our house, part of the rule that we have, and this is actually included for my 21-year-old daughter, for like Facebook, if the kids are dating anybody, and honestly, we only have two that are old enough to date, if they're dating anybody, then my wife has been up front. She said, hey, if you're dating my daughter, you and I are friends on Facebook, because I want to know what's going on.
Right.
And that's a rule that she puts and she lays down up front. And Victoria's, you know, understands it. And she's at 21, she's still perfectly okay with it, because she was raised that way, to communicate, and that there are certain rules and guidelines. You know, when the kids have phones, and I don't know how it is at your house, but for us, for the technology, their phone is not their phone. Their phone is the phone that we are letting them use. It is only theirs to use, but we have open access to that phone. We can get it and open it and look
right.
at it anytime we want. Now, mm-hmm. whether we do or not is another story, but just that they know, the simple fact that they know that, can deter a lot of that, or it can help them also communicate that, hey, let me show you this, because they're not worried about the other stuff that they don't want you to see, and they're not doing stuff that they don't want you to see, because you've already communicated that up front. So it's all part of this, I think we've discussed it on other episodes, of being a part of your children's life and not being scared of the technology, and really embracing it and being a part of it with your child. And if you don't understand, have them explain to you, because chances are they probably do. And really being a part of your children's life and communication, and open that way these type of things can be addressed and can be stopped ahead of time. And I'm sure some parents are, you know, well, I'm sure I would catch my child before, you know, they did something drastic, but there's studies out there that, you know, the effects of cyberbullying go way past just suicide. I mean, it's, you know, higher risk of alcohol and drug use, skipping school because they don't want to be a part of that, or they don't want to experience the bullying when it transcends from cyberbullying to, you know, actual bullying in the school. So then, you know, they'll skip. They don't want to go. Their grades start to decline. And it really affects the, you know, the self-esteem. So there's a whole slew of other problems that can develop because of cyberbullying. So, you know, the communication is really key, in being able to talk to your children and being able to have that open line of communication that they can do, you know, what your daughter did. And, hey, Mom, can you take a look at this? Or, hey, Dad, can you take a look at this? And being a part of that.
Yep, I completely agree. I think that's the first step in preventing, or at least, you know, the communication-wise. And I have to agree with you that as far as the phones go, we're the same way. And on top of the fact, you know, we have, you know, you and I are pretty capable of being able to, you know, locate certain photographs or locate, you know, messages and things like that, where some other parents aren't capable of doing that. They don't know how to do that. And so that's when the communication aspect of it becomes very, very important. And you know what, Josh, I think this also brings us to the discussion of like games, video games. There's a lot of it that goes on in video games. A lot of
cyberbullying. Oh, yes.
Yes, it's very, very common in video games. And the reason why kids use cyberbullying is because it's easier for bullies because they're not face to face with their target. And they can change their name anytime. So they can pretty much hide who they are. And, you know, a lot of times in video games themselves, you'll get people who, you know, you're playing a game and you defeat somebody, and then that person gets upset and starts calling you names, and then they start, just spreading things about you online as far as, you know, in the game itself. And a lot of parents don't understand that some of these games, like MMOs, like World of Warcraft, for instance, you become very close to the people that you're with in those games. And it's a very emotional attachment when you're playing those video games. You talk to the same people every day. You're on, you know, it's very difficult to just log off and say, I'm never going to log on to there again. I don't want to talk to them anymore, especially when you've reached a certain level with your character and you have all these epic loots and everything like that. You're not just going to wipe your character and restart.
Even besides the, you know, leveling a character and the involvement that you have in a game, you develop a bond with these people. And so in some cases, you talk to them more than you talk to your real life friends. And and it's, you know, you don't, one person can ruin the whole experience because of them just bullying you and bullying you, that you don't, you know, you're distance yourself from friends. I mean, just because these people are online doesn't mean they're not friends. I mean, you and I met online, on Star Wars, and played through several different games. And, you know, think about when, you know, my children that are now coming up, and my 10-year-old plays Destiny, and all the kids that that he plays with, and you kind of sit there, and, you know, while you're doing your own thing, you sit there with an open ear and listen to them and what's going on. You know, and I try to interject and help him where I can, where I don't make him feel like, you know, his, you know, stepdad's sitting over his shoulder, or the friends that he's playing with every day don't feel like, oh, that's your mean old stepdad stepping over your shoulder. No, it's
right.
His stepdad caring about what's going on in his life and caring and understanding and knowing and being a gaming dad that stuff like this happens, and to be able to stop it before it gets serious.
Yep, I completely agree with you, and I think that nowadays parents need to understand that technology is not going away. It's going to be here, and it's going to get better and better and more integrated and more, you know, virtual. And, you know, we're going to go beyond just talking with people to, you know, who knows, the little hologram things. That'd be great. But, you know, just so things like that, I mean, it's always going to be there. And I think the communication is the best way to start. And knowing how, what signs to look for and your child is actually doing as far as technology, because cyberbullying can start from, like we had said, it can start from anywhere, from social media to texting and so forth, and it can include different things. It can include, you know, just calling you names or posting pictures of you that you ask politely not to post, sending pornography, junk email. So there's lots of different things, and then of course you have a lot of some sites out there that are like the internet polling sites that ask who's hot and who's not type stuff, and is somebody that sleeps around? Is somebody, you know, does she sleep around and so forth? And if you have your picture up there and it's not true, and all these polling votes are saying yes, she sleeps around, and that gets around, that's pretty painful, and it can really ruin somebody's life. So those are considered active cyberbullying acts as well. And like we said, video games is a big one too. So communication and knowing what your children are getting into and what they're doing. And obviously, you know, once your kids become teenagers, some kids, I'm not saying all, like my kids don't care what, they actually want me around when we're playing video games.
Yeah.
So, you know, so So that's cool. But some kids, you know, maybe like, Mom, I don't want you playing this game with me and so forth. And that's fine. But you can sit and watch. You can ask questions about it. Who are you talking to? I know when my sons, you know, when they first started doing voice over IP chatting and so forth, it had to be on speaker. So I could hear what they were doing. They could not have it on headset. So, you know, those simple things like that kind of help out as well in kind of getting to know what your child is into. And we also have apps. Josh, you have a couple of apps in mind, right?
Yeah, there's a few different apps. The one, I believe one of them is called Stop It. A lot of them are all different pay apps where, and they run the gambit from just, you know, reporting a bully to monitoring your children and having keywords that pop off that will send you an email. The one that I'm actually have for my app of the week this week, it's called BullyBox. And BullyBox was actually developed by a kid, I believe, here in Indiana. His name was Brandon Boynton. Sorry, Brandon, if you hear this. I'm sure I screwed up your last name, and I'm sorry. He was 17 years old when he created this. It's basically an app that you put on your phone. It's available for iOS and Android. There's also a website that you can log into. And the schools sign up for this, and you can anonymously report a bully. And it gives the school, it will send them an email, and they can respond to it. And it tells you, like, you know, where they saw it happen, who it was, the frequency. And then it gives the school a report about all of these different reported bullyings. And they can even have certain, like, key terms to where, you know, suicide or stuff like that, where if those key terms are put into this report, then the school is actually called. The principal is called directly right away, and so that they can address that right then and there. This was created by a teenager who was bullied in middle school, and when he was bullied, he set his mind to it that I want to, you know, lead the charge and, you know, stop in this. So he created this app in, I think it was 7 months to use this. So it's made available to 20,000 students represented in 7 states and 3 countries. So and it was just launched. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Looks pretty cool. And it kind of really hits home, I guess, or not necessarily hits home. I guess that's the wrong term. It's just something that it's really nice to see teenagers that are, you know, that involved.
Okay, so explain again what the actual process of it. It sends it to the principals and to the parents, right? So that they know.
The school signs up for this, and they pay $1 a student. It could, you know, run the school a little bit of money, but I'm sure they could get funding or something for it. But the school signs up for this, and then the kids are given a code, and they download this app, and it just looks like a regular little app on their phone. And, you know, when they're typing this stuff, it looks, you know, any other children or any other kid, it's going to look like they're texting or something. And if they see a bully, you know, somebody being bullied, or they are the victims of it, then they can send in this message that is received by the bully box, and it is sent to the school by email.
Okay.
And and it's sent to the school, the principal, is what they keep saying. It's sent to the principal or whoever's the responsible party for it, and they get a report of what's happened, and then they can get a report of, you know, of all the, you know, say they want to pull a report for that year. Then they can pull a report for that year. They say, oh, okay, in this bathroom of the school, this is constantly happening. So they can kind of take, you know, keep an eye on that bathroom. So it's pretty kind of in depth.
Now, I wonder how they find out. This is probably just used for statistics and so forth and to help prevent the stuff, but I'm wondering if it, you send it anonymously, and I'm wondering if they are able to find out who the bully is, if the bully's, you know, because it says that you can take a screenshot, but, you know, everybody can change their name and so forth on the Internet, but I'm wondering if they're able to figure out who that the specific bully is.
Well, I'm sure if it's online, there's some ways they could track down. I mean, this is for multiple reasons or multiple ways to do it. So it's, you know, when you're reporting it, you can actually put the name of the bully.
Okay.
So they do have a name of the bully that they can report. And then it's sent off as, like I said, the report. And then the school can sign up for certain key terms that, if it has that key term, then the school gets a call right away.
Nice.
So
I like that.
It's pretty cool. I kind of looked through a bunch of different ones, and it's a very simple but cool reporting tool. On their website, they actually have some screenshots of what it looks like. What the app looks like, and it's a real simple, cool little app. You can report it as a student or a parent, and a name of the victim, name of the bully, location, dates, time, witnesses, description. You can take a photo. You can, you know, pick a photo out of your saved photos, so you can take a screenshot if it's online, and then you just send it, and you send it anonymously, which is the most important thing. You know,
nice.
Cause a lot of kids don't want to report it because they don't want to
right.
be the one or have any retaliation.
Nice. I like that. And the website where you can download this or you can find out some more information about it is bullyboxreport.com. And we'll have that on our website and on Facebook as well. That I would highly recommend if you're a parent, especially if you're on the PTO or the PTA, suggest something like this to your school, because the school really could use this. This also, not just for cyberbullying, but you can input the keywords, and if there's keywords such as gun, kill, or shoot, it'll instantly notify the principal to provide some action so that, you know, we don't get another Columbine incident. That's a great resource. I just kind of want to go over some websites as well that parents can check out or educators can check out. The first one I'd like to kind of go through is stopcyberbullying.org. I ended up speaking with some of the council members for Stop Cyberbullying a while ago, and they have a great program. So I would try to go to stopcyberbullying.org. And then another one is reachout.com, and let us know if you have any other websites that you would recommend as well. Well, that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes and office this evening, and everything we just discussed can be on thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media link.
Enjoy the rest of your week. We will be back next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.